Hi everyone, welcome back to Our Hollywood. I'm Daniel.
I'm Kim. And this week's episode is from the mind of Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, do you want to do your little spiel?
I thought we were going to do like a mental health check, like usual. We don't have time. Okay.
I feel fine.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
That was not convincing at all.
But it's true. Like, I'm actually fine.
Okay.
Guys. Look
okay.
Me in the eyes. I'm fine. speaking of, if you want to watch our podcast in video form, you can check that out on Our Hollywood on YouTube. You can leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. you can answer the weekly question on Spotify and follow at Our Hollywood on Instagram with a period in between the two words, at Our Hollywood on TikTok, and at Our Hollywood on Letterboxd. All of those need to be updated, but I'll get on it.
Yeah. Well, this is our season finale, so you're gonna have 3 weeks to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe. 2 weeks. We literally don't even think about it.
Here's the cycle. Here's how it goes. We start the season. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Halfway through. Oh, this is getting harder.
Yeah.
Towards the end, I never want to do an episode of anything ever again. 1 week after we stop the season, okay, I'm losing my mind when I'm restarting.
Yeah.
Every single time.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And I just have to remember to myself that we miss it when it's gone.
You know? Yeah. Anna Kendrick. Pitch Perfect.
Yeah. I know. Anyways. I got it. I just didn't want to engage.
Okay. All right. So we're going to do a quick little what we watched this week because we have a lot to cover today. And we've never done an episode like this, so I don't really know how long it's going to take us.
Okay. I'm going to do a little shameless corner. It's going to be really quick. Speed round. I really enjoyed this last season.
Are you going to... You could just spoil the finale. I don't think I'm going to watch it.
Oh, I wasn't going to spoil it. I was just going to give like a general... Okay. Because I feel like a lot of people were in the same boat I was where they stopped watching it like around season, I want to say like 7 or 8. And then in the pandemic, I caught up. And then I saw that the new season, the last season came out. And I was like, well, like I need to know how it ends. Mm-hmm. You know, like I caught up during the pandemic. I might as well just finish it. And I didn't really have high hopes because this is first season without Fiona.
There's only bit. I thought there was two.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. This one, I don't know. Actually, yeah, maybe this was the second season, but this was so much better. I think because the season before this, if it was Fiona was gone, they tried to make Debbie the new Fiona, and nobody liked that. With peace and love to the actress that plays Debbie. You play it right.
Right.
Because you're making us feel all these emotions. And season 11 was really good until the... Like, I remember last week I said it was really good, but I have, like, 3 episodes left. And the last 3 episodes, I was like, what? Because they just started throwing in some random things. And I was like, wait, but there's like 2 episodes left. Why are we, what are we doing? Like
every season series finale
specifically
ever.
Specifically with Debbie's character, they brought in like another love interest. Oh, but it's like the most random love interest ever. And it's like, why?
I don't think I liked any of Debbie's love interests ever. I didn't get that far, but.
Yeah.
The last one I saw was the guy that got her pregnant.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. I mean, so yeah, I don't know. I think the actress has kind of beef with the writers a little bit. Mm-hmm. She says it very like nicely to not burn the bridge, but like I can tell like so she does not agree with some things. And honestly, if I was the actress playing Debbie, I'd be like, can we have one redeeming moment, please?
Yeah,
because I don't like that everybody hates Debbie.
As soon as she dropped the baby, I was like. It's like when Fiona, when the baby got into like the drugs,
yeah.
Like when that happened with Fiona, that was when I was like, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like every Shameless character has that one thing where it's like, okay, that was a bit much.
Yeah.
And it's like almost unforgivable. And for me, Debbie was like when she had the baby and she was being irresponsible with it. And with Fiona, it was same thing almost.
Yeah.
That was the only thing they could come up with.
Yeah. I thought it was really weird that they tried to make Fiona and Debbie like really much parallels. And I get what they were trying to do in last season was like try to like establish, because they're trying to make sure like it ends right, so like everyone's like kind of moving away and stuff.
I hate when they do that.
And I liked it honestly, because really? Okay. it made sense. Like it did make sense honestly, and they like brought up gentrification and stuff, and I honestly liked a lot of the topics that they like chose to pick on, which kind of is why at first I was like, I wish there was more another season of this, because I liked what they brought up. But then the last 3 episodes I was like, wait, what? Why are we introducing things? Mm-hmm. Like, we're supposed to be wrapping it up. That, you know? But I still liked it a lot. I thought it was a pretty good send-off. Did you read?
I read What How It Ends. Yeah, and I do like that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm satisfied with
no,
that.
No, yeah, because you were saying.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, great. If you guys know, you know.
Yeah, if you know, you know. You know, you know.
Okay. The French Dispatch.
Go ahead.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I was smiling the entire time.
Yeah,
I was having so much.
That's how I feel anytime I watch a Wes Anderson movie, though.
You feel like you're watching like a little cartoon that's like live action, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but like, I was literally having so much fun. Also, like for some reason, they were barely showing it. Like
and also the Spencer movie.
Yeah,
is literally only.
It's so weird. And last night in Soho, also there was one time.
Yeah,
I was like, what is going on? I don't know.
That's why, like, the now Eternals. I'm like, oh, I guess I gotta fucking see it like at the weekend. That's why I was like, I don't know if like. I was like, what time should we are we recording today? And I was like, I still want to see the Spencer movie. But then I saw that it's playing during the week. And I was like, I'll just go during the week.
Also, it has 85% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
But 50% audience. But
like,
so.
I also don't really care about Rotten Tomatoes.
I take it into, I just like knowing what's on it.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
It doesn't really affect,
okay,
in my opinion. Because some of my favorite movies have like 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, same.
So like, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I just think it's interesting
it's
to see.
Funny to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially older movies that they, because Rotten Tomatoes wasn't really a thing back then.
I think people don't like.
Did people like it?
Okay. The thing is like, you know how people probably thought that it was about her whole life. It's only about like.
I thought
one
we were talking
weekend.
About the French Dispatch. Oh yeah. It's like
just
right
like
before.
Holiday, it's the holidays.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think that's a more interesting take because we've seen so many documentaries.
Yeah.
We see The Crown and stuff. Like, we already covered that. Like, I want to see like more of the emotional side.
Well, so. I
don't know. Like, I feel
wait,
so,
you saw it already?
No. But like about biopics like that, like, I just feel so weird about it sometimes because I'm like, in a way.
It feels really fresh.
You're like, it feels too fresh. And also like, I feel like you're rewriting history.
Oh yeah! Oh my God!
So that's like a whole different topic. I desperately want to talk about that in an episode.
Someone will pick it up somewhere, or if not, we'll just like, do it for a solo episode.
Let's do it for a solo episode. Okay. Season because like I feel so many things. About
yeah, me
that.
Too. The Greatest Showman. You guys know what I think.
No, yeah, we know. But there's so many movies that rewrite history, and it's like it can be done tastefully, but also like you have to like you can't expect too much from audiences.
Also,
but maybe now you can. Anyways, that's a different topic.
Wait, no, what I was gonna say was that like.
Back to French Dispatch.
Wait, no, really quickly. Last thing about Spencer is that like I read like I was reading the reviews of it, and I saw it. Basically, what they were saying was like it's supposed to represent like, it's supposed to give the audience hope that she was happy in her last days. That's like what it's supposed to be about.
Well,
but I was like, but is it true?
Yeah,
like I don't know.
Like, I don't know if that's fair of you to do,
decide,
especially with how terribly she was treated after she left.
I mean, we have to watch it, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
We'll kick it off season 5.
Yeah. Okay. The French Dispatch. Okay. I had so much fun. And I don't know if it's because I was a newspaper in high school. So, like, I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. When, like.
I knew you were going to bring that up,
I was having so much fun.
I was taking
fun.
Bets with myself. Like, how is he going to connect to this?
100%. Because when I was, just the way they, like, oh, my God. I loved it so much. And, like, I think I've only seen, like, the Grand Budapest Hotel and the Tannenbaum, I don't know, whatever that one's called.
Royal
Those
Tannenbaum.
Are the only other two Wes Anderson movies I've seen. And I loved them too, but I think this was my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know, controversial opinion. I feel like people did not like this one as opposed
but
to the other ones.
People hate everything when it comes out. And then as like the years go by, the people that actually like it come to the surface and it kind of gets like especially when it gets put on streaming services, if it ever does. Like people just like to hate as soon as things come out.
Yeah, but I'm also glad I got to see this in the theater. Also, the theater was full.
Yeah,
I thought I was gonna be alone and with Marlies, but no, the theater was full. And what was I gonna say? I loved the ratio, like how they used. Oh my God, there was just so many things that I was like, oh my God. Okay, the how he changed the ratio for certain things, how he changed the color, how it went from black and white to color with when certain like things would happen.
I love that.
I was like, oh my God.
I love like, when movies do that.
Wait, okay, what was your favorite chunk? Was it the painter?
Art.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
I was having so much fun.
I was like surprised to see boobs for some reason. But like so that threw me off in the beginning, so I was like, oh whoa.
When they checked my ID to get in, I was like, oh, so we're gonna see something.
Oh, they checked your ID? I didn't know what the rating was. I had no clue. So like,
did they not check yours?
No.
Oh well, to be fair, Marlies looks very little. They're probably like, oh, this dad and his daughter are coming to see this movie. And so that's probably why they checked it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they didn't check my ID. But maybe because it's LA, so like LA people don't care.
No.
They're just like, go, come on. Come see. But yeah, I don't know what it is about San Diego theaters, but yeah, they're really strict about checking IDs. That's weird. I remember it was like such a process in high school to go see like a rated R movie.
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God. Oh my God. Get over it.
Maybe anyways.
In high school, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Anyways. It was the painter chunk.
Timothy Chalamet
chunk. I don't know. We're just gonna call it that.
That one was so weird.
I had fun watching it, but yeah. I don't think I really liked it.
Exactly.
Because like I liked what it was saying about how like every generation thinks they're gonna be the ones that mm-hmm. make the impact, and then they just don't.
I love the message. Yeah. What happened in between? I was like,
not a fan of him.
I don't love when people do complicated relationships like that.
There we go.
So I don't really love.
They in high school or college? I couldn't figure that out.
College, but it's still not right.
I still was really irked
by it. Even though it was so mundane, like the conversation between them, like it took me such a minute to understand what was going on.
Wait, what part are you talking about?
When they were in the bed together.
Oh yeah.
And then when he was like, "You're so beautiful," I was like, "Hold on."
I was like, "What's?" I fully understood when they cut from the bed creaking to them in bed. I was like, "Okay."
I didn't. Maybe I like blacked out for a second.
Maybe because the bed was definitely creaking.
Yeah,
there was like 30 seconds of that.
I was just trying to like not. I guess I was.
You were closing your eyes.
I wasn't in the headspace to like register that. I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. What was the other one? Oh, the food chef. One. That one was fun.
I liked it. But visually, at that point, I was just fun. Like, can this end already? I have no patience for movies anymore. I don't know. I think Dune ruined my life.
I don't think so. Marvel movies did it for me.
I saw that Eternals was like 2.5 hours, and I was like.
Honestly, it was paced pretty well, though. I would say. But I get why you didn't watch it yet.
Oh, but yeah, you know how you mentioned. I don't know if I cut this out of the last episode because our last pre-show was like 40 minutes. It was so long.
I was trying to tell you and you're like, no, it's usually. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
No, yeah, it was really long. But Kim mentioned that like something about the ending. You were like, you're going to like the ending. And I loved the ending.
Right.
I was having so much fun.
I loved it. I literally like shed a tear, I think. I was like, oh, love that.
I don't, maybe I did. I don't remember.
Not like
I
have no tears left to cry. But like a happy tear. Like, oh,
yeah, yeah.
I saw that wrapped up.
Yeah,
I be crying, guys.
Me.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Tears ricochet.
Yeah, so I loved it. I had a great time.
Right? I really liked it.
Also, I was like, we were getting towards the end, and I was like, where is, oh my God, I'm not going to say her name right. Saoirse Ronan. I was like, where is she?
And then she popped up. She was in like the things.
I saw, it's because I saw a thing that it was like.
I was like, when she came on, because I forgot.
Me. I saw this thing that it was like, when her and Timothy Chalamet are in a movie, you know it's going to be good. And so that's how she was in this
one.
They're
not even in the same story.
They're not. They don't interact at all. They probably never saw each other on set.
Character out of the whole thing, or me top two.
Okay. I almost said Billy Porter. Oh, what's his name? Ghostbusters. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is so embarrassing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hold on. Cast. Bill Murray. That was my favorite character when he said no crying. I was having so much fun with that one. And then I think second would be the girl from the second chunk. I don't know her. I don't know the name of the actress.
The girly with the bangs, the French girly,
the little girl. Yeah,
she's not little.
Whatever. There was
that one.
Oh yeah, Lena Kudry. I should just not be allowed to read the names.
I loved her. That was my favorite for sure.
Yeah.
But maybe because I was like projecting myself on her for some reason, because I had to project myself onto somebody.
Angelica Houston was in this movie?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
There's so many people in this fucking movie. I have no idea.
I don't remember seeing her. Maybe like a cameo, because I don't. I also liked Simone. No, I didn't. Never mind. Oh my God. Halfway through the movie.
Tilda was so funny.
Wait. Halfway through the movie, Marlies turns to me and she goes, "That's the lady from Narnia, right?" And I was like. Yeah, it is. It was so funny because that chunk was about to end. She's the Snow Witch, the Snow Queen, or whatever.
Well, I was a child when I hated watched Narnia. Them, so I didn't like the guy who's in Split. Didn't know he was the horse the guy.
Yeah,
horse guy.
You know the like Narnia is like Christian, like
yeah.
Anyways, we're getting so off track. Well, that's all I watched this week. Well, actually, I watched a lot, but I just we're gonna talk about Last Night in Soho right now. When we get into the episode, and I have a lot to say. Did you? Well, okay. When we get there.
I watched it.
Oh, I saw antlers. I have nothing to say about it. Ooh. Yeah.
I remember seeing like the little sign on the wall that was like, it has like the scene if you have like epilepsy or something. Yeah. Was it really that bad? Wait,
for Soho or which one?
No, for Antlers.
No, it was like I think it was like gunshots. No, it was like, you know, they were in somewhere dark and, you know, the gunshot was like turning on the flash of the gun. Yeah. It was whatever. I don't think the only one that I was like, oh my God, this could definitely hurt someone was Incredibles 2. And that was the only one where I was like, okay, they're definitely needing some warning. Like, yeah, I was like, hello. Exactly, it's like a 30-minute scene.
Yeah, it was so long. I was like, okay, damn.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm tired of watching this.
It was a plot device, too.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, so today we have a very new kind of episode. If it goes well, we'll do more of these. But I really have no idea how it's going to go. Because I don't want it to be just us reading. No. Well, I just don't know if we're going to get off track.
We will. I didn't understand.
It doesn't matter. Anyways, ad break, and then we'll be right back.
Whatever happened? Anyways.
Oh, to him being a cannibal?
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
He just disappeared and no one...
Good.
No, but like...
Oh, like, should he go to... Oh, yeah, he should be in jail.
Yeah.
Wait, did he kill someone?
No.
Something happened.
No, it's just like... It was like allegations that he was a cannibal, and then like he like fell off the face of the earth.
Because it's true.
Yeah, even Timothy's like...
I want a biopic.
They're going to make a Netflix documentary about it. There's no...
No, but like, I want like a Silence of the Lambs style...
The
like,
documentary has to come first, and
oh,
then
of course,
that.
Yeah, because like, then they're gonna base it on that.
Yes, exactly.
Hi guys.
Sorry, just thinking about Armie Hammer being a cannibal.
Yeah.
Intrusive thoughts. Anyways, hi, welcome back from our ad break, and now we're gonna be talking about Edgar Wright. So, why we chose Edgar Wright as our first victim?
Because, well, here's why I. This is how the conversation went. I was like. For this week's episode, we should do like a director spotlight. She's like, sure. I was like, we should do Edgar Wright. She said, sure. And that was it. And it's because I had just come out of seeing Last Night in Soho. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I forgot that I had wanted to do. Oh, no. I went to go look at the Google Doc. And I remember that like when we first started like talking about the podcast, I wanted to do a series like going into each director, but we just never got to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is better as a solo episode.
Yeah,
because we already have a lot of opinions.
What it was. Like, I was just like, I don't really know if I want to do that with like,
a guest.
You know,
it wouldn't make like for what?
Yeah, like unless you're like the number one fucking fan of this person.
But so yeah,
I thought you were gonna mention how I love Edgar Wright. But
oh yeah, I was gonna do the story time.
Okay.
So whatever. I just seen Last Night in Soho, so I was like, okay, let's do Edgar Wright because Kim is like the biggest stan. Because and the reason I know this is because, well, first of all, like
in
sophomore
college,
year of college,
that was like my personality.
No, it was.
Yeah,
the main one, and there was a lot.
It was like that and Brockhampton. Yeah, that's it. Oh my God, that's why I was a nuisance to society.
Yeah, I associate both those things to you still. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad
thing.
You're
not the only person that does either.
Yeah, every time I see Brockhampton, I'm like Kim.
I'm in tears right now. Okay, anyways.
Anyways, so I watched Baby Driver on my laptop, like in my dorm. I remember, and I was like, this is so good, and I had never seen anything Edgar Wright. And then, like, a couple weeks later, you were like, do you want to go to... Because, okay, the Chinese theater does this thing called... No, the Egyptian theater.
Yeah.
There's the Chinese theater, the Greek theater, and the Egyptian theater. All in L.A. And
so... I never realized that.
I realized it when I was thinking about how I was going to tell the story. Okay. So, I'm glad the joke was out there. Anyways, so they do this thing called Beyond Fest, and it's like... I'm so sad that we are not in LA this year because they did a Last Night in Soho screening with Edgar Wright. They also did Halloween Kills screening with the director Jamie Lee Curtis. Like they
it's
always
a
do
super underrated film festival in LA. I feel like
yeah, if you live in LA and you are a film stan,
reasonably priced as well.
Sometimes
like
they're free.
Bucks.
The Last Night in Soho one was free. Yeah, yeah,
what?
Yeah. And so, but yeah, they like charge depending on each one. It's a fun little theater. They do like a Q&A. And I went. The first one I went to was the Baby Driver one. So they did a Baby Driver like on film. It was like what 35 mil? I don't know. I don't understand that. And it was a double feature with the Driver, which inspired that movie. And in between the two movies, they did a Q&A with Edgar Wright.
And the
it was
director
so
of
fun.
The Driver too.
Oh right. Mm-hmm. King.
I know King.
And I was like, are we staying for the second one? Because like I hate double features because I don't have the energy to watch two movies in a row.
Bad because
but then
so
it was so
adorable.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, literally, Kim was like, we have to say because the director was like, nice.
Yeah.
He thought no one cared. So then like the guilt tripped us into staying.
No, that's what it was. Yeah. And I was like, I care a little bit. Like enough.
It was
say,
good though. I enjoyed it. I think about good. It all the time, especially that garage scene.
Yeah.
Every time I'm in a parking garage, I think of that.
I think I try, and then after that, I was like, oh, I missed out on so many movies because like. I'm just never going to know about them.
Yeah.
And that made me a little sad, too.
That is sad. Why would you say that?
I thought it was important really to the depressing. Conversation.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's our experience with Edgar Wright. That's our third degree from Edgar Wright.
That's your experiences.
Oh, right. Wright. That's all. And then later I was like watching his other movies. I've seen most of the ones that's on this list. Yeah.
Do you want to know
how Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to
make sure. Because I'm scared.
Really? No, I just remember my friend in
middle school. Oh, wait, I do know.
My best friend from middle school. She was very indie. Like,
right.
She loved Vampire Weekend, but, like, not because of Tumblr, because, like, her parents introduced her to Vampire. Like, that kind of stuff. Like, her parents.
I didn't know they still made music. Side note.
I didn't know that until right
very
now.
Very different.
Anyways. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. I feel like a lot of, like, indie artists are like
they're in their folklore era. But not in terms of music, just, like, new sound.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was like indie, and like she was also really into movies. Also, I didn't realize, but she's a film major now. So makes sense.
That tracks. Yeah.
Yeah, that tracks. And she was telling me we would always watch like all the new movie trailers together, and then Scott Pilgrim came out, like the trailer for it, and we were like, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm gonna need to watch this opening night. Yeah. We were like obsessed with it, and I read all of the novels in preparation for it, and then went on opening night with her, and it was like such a fun experience. And that was before like I even knew directors were like a kind of a thing. Like, obviously, you know, like Steven Spielberg and James Cameron and stuff like that, but
you know,
like
the big ones.
Yeah, exactly.
When people ask you like what's your favorite director, you're like Steven Spielberg. Or no, I used to say Alfred Hitchcock, and I had seen Psycho.
Because of Back to the Future.
Yeah. yeah.
But sorry, the sound like the ADHD, like whoop, like what's that noise? Anyways, then I watched that, and like my mind, my little like 10, 11 year old brain or something, like preteen brain, was like, I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, this is cinema. This is it was like my first like, like, whoa.
It's your origin story.
No, this is like the movie that like.
Yeah.
That
like, you start crying about Scott Pilgrim?
No.
Oh.
I was just like, I don't know what word to use to describe it.
I saw tears in your eyes, and I was what's going on?
No, I think I'm just tired. but it was just like blew my mind, and I was like, wow, this is great. And then as I got older, I was like, okay, maybe I should look into directors of movies that I liked. Actually, no, I couldn't remember what Scott Pilgrim was called for the longest time. And then
you didn't know what it was?
No, I was like, I was like, what is this movie that literally blew my mind? I don't know.
What would
like,
you even Google
it was
for
like
that?
Before like I had internet skills or anything. Like I was just like my mind was literally just One Direction. That's all I could function on. But then I think around like after that time, as I was getting more internet savvy, I like saw like something online about it, and I was like, that's the movie, this is it. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, it's still as good. And then that's where the personality trait of Edgar Wright Stan came to be. And so Scott Pilgrim, and then I was like, oh, I love this freaking movie. I'd watch it like literally every month in college, like not even joking, it was like my comfort movie. I still stand by that, honestly. Like, people can say what they want, but a comfort movie is a comfort movie, you know what I mean? And then when I was in college, Baby Driver came out, and then like literally as soon as I heard it, I was like, guys,
wait, 2017 was your
junior?
Okay. Junior. Oh yeah, because I was already in LA, so it couldn't have been your
junior,
okay,
or like
sophomore, maybe
second semester of sophomore year.
Okay.
No, second semester of sophomore year, because it was right before I went to London, I remember. And I remember like watching the trailer, and I was telling everybody, I was like, I'm so excited. This is when I worked at the movie theater. This is like peak movie theater Kim.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, I'm so excited for this movie theater movie. Kim. And I remember when I went to go see Baby Driver, I took the guy I had a crush on at the movie theater, and that ended like a shit show. So I'm glad I liked it so much that he didn't ruin it for me.
And oh my God, that's the worst.
I hate when that happens, you know?
You just have to keep watching it until you form a new memory that replaces it. Whoa. Guys, I'm
okay?
Fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
But yeah, that's my Edgar Wright tidbit.
That's so
I love him.
We'll get to Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I realized.
Okay, we're getting ahead of
ourselves. Okay, yeah, we are. Okay.
Let's wait.
So I'm gonna speed through his a little background, just because I felt like I was like, well, we have to know his origin story. But also, like, okay, I got this from Wikipedia, not fact checked. If you wanted a fact checked podcast, well, this is not the one.
Wait, before we get into it, like, I feel like caring about directors, at least for like people our age, is a very new thing. Like,
okay,
or maybe it's just.
I think we just have more access to directors,
and
now.
Also we're a special case because we're film majors. But like, when what age did you start caring about like directors and like started watching movies because somebody was directing it?
Yes, middle school. My bio teacher talked about Psycho for like half an hour. Why was he talking about it? Don't even remember. And also, he would mention like he was like a film buff, but like it had nothing to do with the class. I don't know. And so like he talked about Psycho, and I was like, I need to see this movie. And so I watched it, and I was obsessed with it. And then I was like, well, I want to know more about this director. And
when so then I went to your personality trait. It's like a different feeling.
It is.
I miss
it's
that.
So fun.
It hasn't happened.
And especially when you know that it's going to. Yeah. Like you get into it. I'm like, this is it. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I was really hoping. Love
I don't think it's a healthy thing.
Oh no, it's like a different form of parasocial relationship. Yeah. Of course. But I would rather have that with like a kind of inanimate object than like a person.
Right.
Because I feel like there's still like a fair level of like. You can't
oh my God.
Really
that's,
develop
yeah, that,
more feelings. That's another episode I want to do.
That's a whole
we're
conversation.
We're going to finally be able to do all the ones that like nobody.
It's because a lot of people don't want to do certain things that we're. It's just us that are interested in it. Yeah. But then we like post it and everyone's like, "Oh my God, so excited!" I'm like, "What? Mm-hmm. I thought no one cared."
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's interesting. Well, I just wanted to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Edgar Wright, take it away.
Okay. Edgar Howard Wright was born on 18th of April 1974 in Poole, Dorset, and grew up predominantly in Wells in Somerset. He attended the Blue School, Wells. What? The Blue School? Oh, I guess it's in Wells. Guys, I didn't read this. From 1985 to 1992, and is honored by a plaque at the school. His high school drama teacher, Peter Wilde, played a cameo role in Hot Fuzz. Throughout the late 1980s and early 1990s, he directed many short films, first on a Super 8 camera that was a gift from a family member, and later on a Video 8 camcorder that he won in a competition on the television program Going Live. From 1992 to 1994, Wright attended the Bournemouth and Poole College of Art and Design, it goes by a different name now, and received an ND in audiovisual design. When I heard, like, it's so clear what age was, like, the defining moments for him as a filmmaker. You can clearly tell.
Yeah.
When I read that, I was like, oh.
Have you seen like all the little clips of him when he was like a young person?
He looks like John Wick. Oh my God. What's that guy's name?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Kind of.
Like a British version.
Yeah.
I could get behind that.
Oh, Keanu Reeves isn't British? What is he?
No, I think he's American.
Oh. He gets British vibes.
He does get British vibes. That's very
He's
fair.
Just polite. That's like the only thing. Anyways, sorry, go ahead. Have you seen the things when he's young?
Oh, and I don't know, it's just like you can tell he was like meant to be a director.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like in like the most like boy white cis man way.
Yeah,
you can tell he's gonna be the way he just
oh
and carries
also
himself.
Well, I'll get to this later. I had like a realization in my head about his, but we'll get to
me
that
too. But I forgot, so I hope it comes back to me.
I want to write it at the end. Actually, whatever. I'm gonna remember it. And then also, for some reason, this is on Wikipedia, and I was like, "Where did this come from?" It's from a podcast. I didn't listen to the whole podcast, but this was, I guess, important enough to be on his Wikipedia. At the age of 12, Wright went on a date to the movie Mannequin with Sarah Newton. I don't know who that is. Where Wright failed to kiss her due to the presence of a group of boys. This led to the demise of their short romance, and the heartbreak Wright experienced would be instrumental in his career. I was like, okay.
That's such a...
Why is that on...
That's such a boy thing.
Yeah.
Like a straight boy thing.
Like...
They're still hung up on their ex from middle school. That is really a thing, though. That is not the first time I've heard about that.
About the Edgar Wright? Or just in general?
No, just in general, straight boys.
I think it's because it reminds them of, like, failure.
Oh, that's not unpack that.
Yeah, no, I don't want to. Anyways, his signature style. I saw this on IMDb. And I thought this was really interesting.
There's like a whole website dedicated to that.
Yeah, IMDb has so many fun things. There was like trivia for each movie, so I put some in.
No, it's called TVtropes.org.
Oh, like I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's where I thought you got it from, because a lot of them are on there.
Well, there were some that I read, and I was like, I don't agree with this. But there are some that I do. So I wrote down the ones that I think I do agree with. Fast action style editing. And this is this part especially in Baby Driver, usually of mundane tasks including whip pans and crash zooms. I love this. I think this is the coolest thing ever. He did a lot in Baby Driver, but I didn't really see him like Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Repeated lines or snippets of dialogue for comedic effect. This is definitely like his earlier movies. Pivotal scenes that take place in a bar or pub. Didn't even realize, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And then frequent and effective use of foreshadowing. He is one of the best foreshadowers
ever. My favorite of his is not even on here. Like, not on any of the lip. Because my favorite thing about him and why I like deeply admire him is like the way he transitions from scenes.
They're so smooth.
Like, it'll be like one line of dialogue.
Yeah.
And then it'll carry over like a transition.
Yeah.
And then it'll like make sense for like the next one to be.
Or
like Scott Pilgrim. Like,
yeah.
When he's like zoned out, he's like, where are we going? And then they keep on repeating it. And he's like, where are we going? He's like, Scott, you've asked like three times. Where are you going? And it's like, and then they don't even show it. It's just like visual. I don't know.
Last night, yeah. Last Night in Soho did it too, where she was like, where she was talking to the lady and she was like, I would never just leave in the middle of the night. Cut to her leaving in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. So like it does sound like that.
They didn't do it as much though in Last
Night. No, but it's still there. Like you can still tell it's an Edgar Wright movie. Yeah. And also like they're very rarely jump cuts, and if they are jump cut, it's like intentional. So like the light will turn off and then the light will turn back on and they're somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Oh my god, I didn't even
That's my favorite thing about
that is really fun. Or like oh my god, fun. I literally didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is one of his like signature.
Because I'm always like waiting for it to happen. Except in Last Night in Soho, I didn't wait
for it. It did happen a lot. But it was really? I felt more it didn't feel like it was part of it.
Such a different pace.
Okay. Anyways, so now we're gonna get into his career. So basically the way I have this structured is his early works, just because I didn't want to talk too much about them because I don't think we've really seen them that much, but they're like important and instrumental to like how he became a filmmaker.
He's really much a person that like sticks to what he knows.
Yeah.
Until we get to Last Night in Soho, which I feel like
I think recently he's been like spicing it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, but anyways, so his early works. He made his feature film debut in 1995 with a low-budget independent spoof western called A Fistful of Fingers, which was picked up for a limited theatrical release, and it was also on broadcast TV, I believe. And then in 1998, a writer slash actors Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines were in the early stages of developing their sitcom called Spaced for Channel 4 and thought of asking Wright to direct, having fondly remembered working with him on the 1996 Paramount comedy Asylum. And Spaced is kind of like Community, where it's like a lot of the episodes are like spoofs of something else. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's the best thing I could compare it to.
Yeah, because in Spaced there was like one where like Simon Pegg's character was like so much on drugs, like he got transported into the video game with the zombies, which led to Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. So basically Space kind of like was like his Kickstarter. I don't even know what to call it. This led to everything else.
Yeah, essentially. Because it was just like Simon Pegg remembered him and then they like really got along on Spaced and then led to like all the next three of his big movies.
And also, since Space did so well, it paved the way for Wright and Pegg to move to the big screen with Shaun of the Dead, which was released in 2004. It was directed by Edgar Wright, written by Wright and Simon Pegg, and it was starring Simon Pegg, Kate Ashfield, Lucy Davis, Nick Frost, and like a bunch of other people. Thoughts on this movie?
I don't really like zombie movies, but I do like this one. And also Zombieland, but you know, when I was like thinking about this, I was thinking about Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and what was the last one? World's End. And I was like, wow, they're really the British version of Judd Apatow movies, you know, or like Seth Rogen movies. That's like the same feeling God. I get from them, you know?
It's like stoner comedy.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like funny. Maybe
that's why I didn't like them. I don't really like any of these early movies.
Really?
They're just not for me.
Yeah, I get it. I think it was because I really liked the Judd Apatow and like Seth Rogen movies.
Yeah.
That kind of just made sense for me to like this. But I feel like sometimes like because I'm American, the British humor sometimes just goes over my head and I feel like a little like not smart.
Like excluded.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because that's what I like about his movies. It's like kind of like your insult on the joke. Like he doesn't make it's not like he makes super highbrow shit. Like you can pretty much follow along what the hell is going on.
I don't think he wants to make highbrow shit.
No, I think he likes, I think I watched an interview with him that he said that he was like, no one, like I don't want to make movies where you're like above your audience. Like,
yeah, why? Yeah, what's the fun in that?
Me shrugged.
The first time I saw this movie, it was because I was like, I want to know more about Edgar Wright. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking into his movies and I saw that he directed like a zombie movie and I heard so many good things about it and it was October, so I was like, let me check it out. I genuinely did not like it.
Really?
I think, why? Here's the thing, and we're going to get into this. His main characters, so obnoxious. Especially in these early movies. I loved the main character from Last Night in Soho, but I don't like Scott Pilgrim. I don't like Baby. I don't like Sean. Like, they just, I don't like them as main characters.
I like them as movie characters, though.
They were great as movie characters. But,
like, if I met them in real life, I probably would not be friends with them. But, like, watching them from afar, and I think that's why I like it, is, like, I like watching movies with, like, people that, like, I necessarily wouldn't identify with, which is so funny because, you know, we have to do that anyway.
Yeah, I mean...
But, and I've been doing that my entire life because I don't think there's one movie character where I'm like, oh, that's exactly me. Anyways,
period.
But I do think, I don't know, I just like seeing...
I also just, this is not my kind of comedy.
Yeah.
I love, like, horror comedies. Do you like
Judd Apatow movies?
No. Well, it's not that I don't like them. They're just not my thing.
Yeah.
I can, like, I know it's Shaun okay of the Dead is a good movie.
I know it's so hard to say you don't like things on this podcast because I feel the same way.
Because it's just such a claim.
Yeah, exactly. I don't, because it's like, but when we say we don't like something, it's not like I fucking hate this shit.
We used to, season one, us, yeah. Oh my God.
I don't know why I'm so angry all the time. Anyway, but when I say I don't like things, it's not like, not like I feel super against it. I'm just like, it's
not for me. It's literally not for me. Because I know, okay, Shaun of the Dead, I know it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. I would rewatch it, sure. But it's just I don't know. And it's like good, like where I'm like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Like, I think they also do like the quick cuts or whatever.
Yeah, and they like, do the stuff to music.
Yeah, the opening scene. Or like, no, it's the scene where he like wakes up and the zombies are here. Mm-hmm. I love that scene.
Yeah. It's visually appealing. And that's honestly like, if it's visually appealing.
That's enough.
I stand.
It's like a zombie. Yeah, it's fun. Even I like it.
The dialogue isn't like necessarily like the best. Like, I mean, I think the dialogue is good though. Like,
it is good.
I like.
It's a great script.
I like how he writes and stuff. I don't know. That's interesting.
Anyways, yeah. it's just not for me. Okay. But so this is actually, I didn't know this was a thing until I was researching it. But this is apparently there's like a little metaphorical trilogy that him and Simon Pegg kind of like thought up. And it's called the Three Flavors Cornetto Trilogy. And Cornetto is like an ice cream, I guess.
Yeah, it's no really idea. Good, honestly.
Oh, really? You've had
it's
it?
It's like a British thing, yeah.
Oh, I probably had it when I was over there and I just don't remember. But
Google it to make sure I'm thinking about the same brand thing.
But yeah, so this is the first installment. And I'll get...
Oh, they have these here.
Oh, I love these.
I don't know why I thought this was a British thing. I think I'm thinking of like the soft serve that you get with the flake in it.
Oh.
Is this a British thing?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what they look like. I feel like this is a British thing.
It's
this,
because there's three different flavors, and that's each movie supposed to represent a different one. Okay, so... whatever. So back to Shaun of the Dead. So the plot is Sean, played by Simon Pegg, doesn't have a very good day, so he decides to turn his life around by getting his ex to take him back, but he times it right in the middle of what may be a zombie apocalypse. But for him, it's an opportunity to show everyone he knows how to be useful. He knows how useful he is by saving them all. All he has to do is survive and get his ex back. Also, when I read that little chunk about the girl, like him and the girl at age 12, I was like, oh my God, this explains so much. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I had to say about that. There's like, like it's very inspired by George A. Romero and Sam Raimi, like, the big zombie movies that kind of like inspired every other zombie movie. Even the name's like a riff on that. And I think it's, you know what you're going in for when the title is like a pun and like you see the post, like, you know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Also, Lucy Davis. I love her. I love Lucy Davis. I had only seen her in like Sabrina.
Oh, yeah.
She's like one of the aunts, mm-hmm. and I love her, and I just think she's great. So, anyways, that's all. I don't know. Do you have anything else?
Why does this blonde woman look so familiar? And that's where it
she's one of the aunts. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts on?
No.
Yeah, that's it.
I just feel like okay about it.
Yeah. It's like good for Edgar that he did this.
I do enjoy like him and Simon Pegg's like friendships. I do enjoy that.
And they make fun things.
Mm-hmm. It's like just friends like making stuff, and that's kind of like how it should be.
Yeah, it has the vibes of like two straight guys who like they got a film camera and they're like, let's just make whatever we want.
Yeah.
That's what their movies are like. Okay, so more about the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy. So it originates from a joke during the promotion of Hot Fuzz, which is the next one that we're going to talk about. And in the script, he had written in that Cornetto ice cream is the hangover cure for Frost's character in Shaun of the Dead. And this is like his own hangover cure. Like, it's that's why I read real life. And so at the party for the film, they gave them free ice cream. And so they were like, we're going to write this into every single one so that we can get more free ice cream. And it didn't work. But then they used this to kind of like plan out a trilogy that it's kind of like American Horror Story in terms of like all the same actors playing different roles. And there's going to be themes that like come back and like are kind of wrapped up in different movies. And then what kind of ties them all together is the ice cream.
I just think these are really cool because like, yeah, you can't make things like this anymore.
No. They're going to be like, have one of the characters show up in the other one.
Yeah.
We need a universe. So this is the way it's split up. So Shaun of the Dead features a strawberry flavored cornetto, which signifies the film's bloody and gory elements. Hot Fuzz includes the blue original cornetto to signify the police element to the film. And The World's End features the green mint chocolate chip flavor, shown only by a rapper Caught in the Wind, representing the little green men and science fiction.
It's so funny because like I do this. Like when, yeah, I'm making my movies, I'm like something will accidentally make sense. I'm like, that's the reason why.
Yeah. It's like, sure, let's go with it and let's run with it. It's fun when that happens.
I think it's so fun because it's just like fun to have like extra meaning to your stuff and like people that really are like the your stands. Yeah. Like it's just fun to create that like type of,
it's like an inside joke with you and your exactly. stance. Anyways, so that leads us to the second part of the trilogy, Hot Fuzz, which was released in 2007, also directed by Edgar Wright, also written by Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg, starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Martin Freeman. And the plot is, a skilled London police officer, after irritating superiors with his embarrassing effectiveness, is transferred to a village where the easygoing officers object to his fervor, I don't know what that word means, for regulations, as a string of grisly murders strikes the town.
Basically, he is like a really like by the book police officer. Okay. And throughout, like, he's like really boring. And throughout the movie is like Hot Fuzz. It's like he's embracing kind of like the action star in him.
Fun.
For the police.
I haven't seen this movie
yet.
That
was such a weird way to put this movie. But I get it. It was like Google. Informs or Google. Yeah, right. I get it. But like that's what the movie's about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah. I don't really like cop movies.
No, ACAB, but like this sounds like a fun like that was not a joke, by the way. That was like
End of Watch though, you know that movie? With Jake Gyllenhaal. I know we don't like Jake Gyllenhaal in this month, but
no, I don't. Really? I don't know what that is.
I really like that movie. Maybe I don't.
I don't think I've seen a cop movie that I enjoyed. But like I like TV, like procedurals are like fun.
Oh yeah.
Just because like the crime element, mm-hmm. I don't know. But they're not real cops, and like they make them so liberal that I'm like, okay, well I know this is not real.
That's a good point.
Anyways,
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, okay, but that's okay, different. Yeah.
They're like a satire of
cops.
Anyways, this is also a satire of cops. And also it's different because it's British police.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know.
Also, I thought, okay, I was
reading. Like buddy cop movies. I'm just like, I
don't care.
It's not for me.
Even when they gender swap it and it's like girls now, I'm like, still don't care.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. Like the Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba show or whatever.
It's doing well though.
Yeah, it's still on. So people like
love
it.
Them. People love it.
But it's just
it.
Not for me.
A Law and Order? How many seasons?
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? Oh, I was reading the trivia for this movie and I saw that like a lot of the lines they took from like a lot of the lines that these characters say, they like interviewed real life policemen, mm-hmm. and they were like so ridiculous that they wrote them into the movie. I was like,
Yeah.
That's so funny. I love that.
I feel like that happens a lot with cop movies because I don't know what it is. Like
cops are ridiculous.
Okay. Well, with every cop movie, like, you know, when they do the interviews, they're always like, yeah, I got to hang out with some cops and do a couple of ride arounds. Every single interview,
yeah.
If that person is playing a cop, they did that. And I just like, is that required? Like, no, at this
they just
point,
really want to hang out with cops.
Or like, maybe they're just trying to get ideas for like the storylines.
But I think like, they're definitely making butt up cops, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would say so. Fair. I feel like most of the buddy cop things are making fun of cops, but I don't know. I think it's just like maybe cops aren't understanding that
they definitely don't.
I don't know what they think.
Wait, also, I just reminded my mom dragged me to see this one movie with Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart, and it was a buddy cop movie.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly
what you're
talking
about.
Don't
even remember what it was called. I was like, oh, my God.
I don't care.
Nope. Anyways. Okay, this I didn't even know it existed. But so in 2007, Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez released a movie called Grindhouse. I didn't know about the movie, but I didn't know about this little part of it. And it's supposed to be an homage to exploitation films of the 1970s. I hate the genre of movie.
Can you explain what exploitation film?
Yeah, so they're just like over the top. Let me look up what the, I was gonna say legal definition, like the official definition is of it. But they're essentially just over the top gory.
Just by the name, I don't think I would like it.
No, it's like, okay. So Wikipedia said, I'm using Wikipedia as a source, whatever. An exploitation film is a film that attempts to succeed financially by exploiting current trends, niche genres, or lurid content. They're generally considered low-quality B-movies. They sometimes attract critical attention and cult followings.
Ooh, would a modern example be Scary Movie?
Sure, yeah.
I feel like...
Yeah. Well, okay, let's see. There's so many sub-genres of it. Look at this.
Oh my god, that is a very long list.
I don't know.
I didn't even know this genre existed. I didn't know Tarantino like did this. Like cannibal films. I had no idea.
Blaxploitation, biker film. Like there's so many. Okay,
so
I don't know.
What I'm getting from this is that they don't age well. For the most
sometimes
part.
Sometimes, like Night of the Living Dead could be considered. Sub-genre. Yeah, I don't know. It just, it's really 50-50 with these. but so that's what this movie is. It's kind of like an homage to that. And so... The movie is a double feature. So one of the halves is directed by Quentin Tarantino and then the other half is directed by Robert Rodriguez. And they kind of pay homage to different kinds of exploitation films. If you like that, good for you. Quentin Tarantino fans, I'm sure, loved it. But throughout the movie, it has 5 fake/spoof trailers. And one of the ones in it is called Don't. And it makes fun of like horror cliches and it's directed by Edgar Wright. And when I was writing this, I was like, oh, I wonder what that's like. Yeah. I looked it up. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
I don't know. I'm in such like a weird mood today because of that time of the month. And I'm just like, nothing is like getting to me now.
This is just.
Even the Eternals, like when I was watching that, I was like, I feel like I should be feeling something. But my emotions are just like not correct. You know, hormones
okay.
are just like not in the right place. I'm just not feeling reactive.
It was like funny, I guess, but like it's nothing like I said, I think I mentioned this last week. I would like horror cliches and being like, oh my god, horror cliches are so, like, I know, we
maybe
know,
if
everyone
I
knows.
Saw this when it came out, it would be a little bit more interesting, but because maybe, we've seen like
Scary Movie, like all these
things,
because
like horror is kind of having like a renaissance period right now. Yeah. It's like
2007. Yeah, I'm sure this was groundbreaking for 2007, and it was like directed fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's very fast paced. It's yeah. 2 minutes long.
Yeah. So. It's on YouTube if you guys want to watch it. Go Edgar.
This is a foreshadowing to his later work.
Oh, yeah.
And like his upcoming.
He definitely was like, sure. I want to do horror, and like no one let him until now.
Yeah, I wonder what that's about.
Well, I guess Shaun of the Dead kind of.
Yeah, but I feel like this is like.
He wanted Last Night in Soho.
This is like the more like raunchier, like kind of like. Suggestive.
Yeah. Okay, take it away.
Anyways. Oh, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, 2010, directed by Edgar Wright, based on the graphic novels by Brian Lee O'Malley, and written by Edgar Wright and Michael Bacall, starring Michael Cera, Anna Kendrick, Chris Evans, Kieran Culkin, Aubrey Plaza, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and there's like so many other people. And this cast is iconic. It aged terribly well.
Oh yeah, I was like, uh-oh.
Why'd you Google her?
Because I wanted to know what else
Harley
she's
Quinn.
In.
She was in the new Harley Quinn movie.
Oh my god, she's Huntress.
Yeah.
Period. She did Kate, 10 Cloverfield Lane. She's doing so well.
Yeah, I love her.
Oh, she did. Is that Quentin Tarantino?
She was in Sky High. She was the villain in Sky High. That's iconic.
I love her.
Yeah, I love Green. Her. I love pretty much everybody on this cast.
I knew she was.
You guess the person I don't really love. That was a rhetorical question. Don't answer it.
Wait, I literally don't know.
Anna Kendrick.
She's
such a bitch.
Oh, me too. Dumois.
More than that. Like, there's been so many stories of her being terrible.
That's scary. That's scary.
I mean, like,
me.
I'll have to see it with my eyes. But honestly, if there's that many people speaking out about how you're being disrespectful,
okay.
The cup song was cool, but you need to take yourself down a notch.
Before,
also, did you know that they dated for like a really long time?
Edgar Wright?
Anna Kendrick and Edgar Wright dated.
I see it.
But like, really?
I do see it genuinely.
Huh. Maybe I just don't know enough
but
about
Anna Kendrick. I definitely see them as exes. I don't see them ending up together. Do you ever see people and you're like, I know you dated and it didn't go well?
No.
Oh. Maybe just me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about either. What the heck?
What was I going to say?
But anyways, I know this movie is like extremely polarizing and like it's valid.
Yeah.
The points that were made up were extremely valid. But I don't think I think I was just so far and deep with this film that like I don't think anybody could like take me out of loving it. Mm-hmm. You know? And like I get like the criticism like Ramona is like the manic pixie dream girl, but like that's not what I took out of it when I watched it the first time. No. And I think it really does depend on like maybe what you got out of the movie versus like what other people got out of the movie and what they didn't like, and that both are fair in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know, but I know you don't like Scott, and
no,
that's not an unpopular opinion.
You're
not alone.
I saw this for the first time last year. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, because I was like, why is everyone like
that's jarring. Oh, I have a whole decade on you for watching it. That is jarring as fuck.
Yeah, I had never seen it, but what made me watch it was the clip of Captain Marvel. I forgot her name. Brie Larson, is that her name?
Yes.
Singing that little song, it like went viral on TikTok. I was like, I need to see the context. I don't know what's going on. And then
did something to me when I was younger. Yeah. I was like, I want to be her. I know she's like so supposed good. To be kind of the villain, but I love her.
It's okay, yeah.
The platinum blonde hair, the way it was, and then the way she
the
just
song?
The song, like the I cuts, don't know how what the that song did.
Cuts, like yes. How the guitar riffs like cut to the so good. That's where he stopped the movie.
The opening scene is like
yeah,
great. The title, how they get to the title card. Don't you have a story about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. So I saw that on IMDb. Apparently, okay. Also, didn't know Quentin Tarantino and Edgar Wright were besties. But
I had no idea.
It's like so clear. Like I don't know how I missed.
It makes
this.
A lot of sense. They're, like yeah. Considering like both of their filmographies.
Yeah.
It makes a lot
that
of
they
sense.
Get along. But apparently the film only had a title card at the beginning, and Quentin Tarantino was the one who suggested that there should be like a pre-title credit sequence because the remaining ensemble of characters who hadn't been introduced yet would have been introduced like faster, and it would have been like overwhelming for the audience. So that's why they kind of gave them like, it says with a pre-title sequence the audience is given a chance to relax and have a firmer grasp on the beginning of the film. Wright considered this and agreed, and like the idea that the first scene would not be a prologue. How do you say that?
Prologue.
Anyways, I just thought that was interesting.
I really enjoy when movies don't just start with like, you know how like they start with like a scenery and like a musical score, yeah, and then they show it and then you meet the characters. Yeah. I really like when movies have like a whole like scene,
yeah,
and then it leads to a title card. I feel like that's much more impactful.
I think so too, because well, it depends on the kind of movie.
Mm, yeah.
I think the only movie where I'm like okay with it opening with scenery is The Shining. Because it serves a purpose. But if it's like,
you know, the other, I was like, what's another example of somebody that does what Scott Pilgrim does? And the first thing I thought of was La La Land.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a good one, too. We love La La Land here.
Oh, yeah. I have no shame about it. But wait, no, you're right. No, well, it kind of like subverts it. Because it's like, look at all these people. They have nothing to do with the story. And then Sebastian and.
Because it's like,
yeah.
They're supposed, it's like Sebastian and Mia are supposed to be like.
They're like in the traffic.
Versions of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because
everyone's interconnected.
Period.
Whatever.
Love LA.
Anyways, I don't know. Like I think it's just so visually appealing, yeah. And like as like an how old was I in 2010? Like 12? Like yeah, I think I was 12 or 11, and it just was such a good movie for me to watch at the age. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I just simply took it visually,
mm-hmm.
And that's all I took it for. I didn't that's really enough. Think that hard about like the relationships and stuff.
No
like
one
that.
Does when we're kids.
But like I get if you're like older and like you're watching it, yeah. Like if you're in high school and if you're in college watching it for the first time now because yeah. It's on Netflix,
yeah.
And you're seeing these relationships, like that's a totally fair.
Yeah, I didn't even finish
argument.
I like forgot that I was talking about like my experience watching it. So I just didn't like Scott, but I was like, that's fine, like whatever, like because again, like usually
an ensemble cast,
yeah, yeah, it. Usually if I don't like a main character, that does not affect my viewing experience, because mm-hmm. I think unlikable characters are fun if that's what the story needs.
I honestly really think it's refreshing,
yeah,
like, you know, you kind of want an anti-hero or somebody. I mean, even not an anti-hero, like it's okay to not like the main yeah. character sometimes.
I think the thing for me was like I just genuinely was not rooting for Scott. I wasn't rooting for, like, I just didn't care about what was going on. I was like, I'm just looking at it because it's pretty.
If I watched it for the first time, like, yesterday, I would hate Scott so deeply. And, like, it would definitely, like, change the way I viewed it. And, like, every time I watch it, I take something different out of yeah. it. But also, is it that deep of a movie? No. And that's okay. And it's just so funny. And the music is funny. And it's just, like, I also really like it in forms of an adaptation because, and that's why I think this is why I was so sad about the Ant-Man thing, which is because, like, I feel like a lot of times when things, like, are adapted from graphic novels and comics, sometimes, like, in case of Marvel, it takes itself too seriously. And, like, I'm like,
DC too, yeah.
But, like, comics are fun. And the whole point is that it doesn't make sense. So the fact that now, which is, like, I don't know, like, I do, like, to some degree enjoy what Marvel Cinematic Universe is doing, but a part of me is like, can we just have like a one-off silly movie about a random superhero that doesn't really like have to like coincide with the thing, which is what the Ant-Man movie honestly ended up becoming. I don't think that was the intention.
Right. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy also kind of, it's like ridiculous, but like,
yeah, but yeah, that's another example I was thinking of, but like, I don't know, man. I really, that's why I like this movie a lot, because like, I really like how it does, you can tell it's based off a graphic novel, and I really like how it leans into like the nerdy aspects of it. Period. And I was extremely nerdy when this movie came out, like very much, I'm very much cringy when I look back on it, but my 11, 12 year old self watching this movie was having such a good time, especially like reading all the novels and stuff. It was like so fun, but I'm really sad that it didn't become a series, you know?
Oh, was it just the first book?
No, they like meshed all the books together.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. But there's a lot more that happens.
Okay.
Like, I like how it ends. I think it did a really good job. Actually, no, it is I think it might be the first and they took aspects of the second book, but there's a lot more that happens.
That would have been a great series. Well, everyone kind of got famous after this, no?
No, I don't remember, because like, now it's been like a decade since I read the fucking books. But I think it is all of them. Because I think each book was a different X or something.
Oh, so they okay.
Yeah, from what I recall. I don't really remember.
That makes sense for,
But I think maybe, and also the ending is different from the graphic novels. Because I don't think the last graphic novel was out yet. Before the
okay.
Anyways, I think it's really fun. It's a fun movie. When I watched it in 2010, and I still think it's fun now, and I think the criticisms are valid.
I think
in aspects of like Scott, like just any man, like manic pixie dream girling a girl, I don't love, but like I'm not taking, that's not what I'm focusing on.
Wait, what was that thing you sent me that it was like the male equivalent of a manic pixie dream girl is?
Oh, the like bad boy, like that's fuck. I don't remember.
It was so funny, but yeah. Anyways,
so much sense though.
Yeah, I did. I think the thing is, if you saw it when it first came out, you like it still, and if you saw it recently, you don't like it. I feel like that's what it is.
Yeah, and that's okay. I'm satisfied with that. I think it's because like I am a Libra, so like I am a people pleaser, and like I do carry what other people think.
Right.
Closely, because I want to make sure everyone's like heard in general. So like I think when people overtly hate things that I love, it like sends me like a little bit into a spiral about it. But I have to remind myself like that's not the message I got from it. And also like I have like a childhood memory attached to it. So I just need to like work on that. That's a therapy thing.
Yeah.
For sure. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Visually.
It's stylized.
Like the what's it called? The soundtrack is like amazing.
It definitely inspired a lot of other movies. Like non Edgar Wright movies. So
even Edgar Wright movies.
Yeah.
The Baby Driver, honestly.
Okay, this next one, I literally did not know he wrote this at all.
I was so confused when I saw this on the list. Yeah, I was like, huh?
Me too. The Adventures of Tintin came out in 2011, directed by Steven Spielberg, a screenplay by Edgar Wright, Stephen Moffat, and Joe Cornish. And the plot is an intrepid reporter named Tintin and Captain Haddock set off on an adventure hunt. Oh my God. What? Set off on a treasure hunt for a sunken ship commanded by Haddock's ancestor. Did you watch this?
I didn't even know this movie existed.
It's a cartoon movie. It's like an animated, like, I don't know what it is.
Was this like the era of Coraline? Because I remember maybe a little bit after, movies like that came out like within like the 5 years of
each other. For some reason, it did not look appealing to me at all. And I just didn't watch it. And I don't know if a lot of people did.
I don't think so.
Look, that's so ugly to me. I'm so sorry. I hate the... He has like a dog.
that, yeah, the animation's a little unsettling.
I don't know. I hate that style of animation.
It's like, it looks like claymation, but it isn't. It's like computer.
It's like, kind of like Monster House. What is that called?
Monster House is claymation.
Oh, you're right. I don't know, like 3D animation. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate it. Grossing me out.
Yeah. I feel like now it's better because technology has gone a little bit.
It's
better.
Okay when it's like not humans for me. Like seeing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's fine. Because I know that that's not what they look like. I don't know.
They're anamorphic.
Yeah.
But when it's like humans, like it just looks a little weird.
It's like Uncanny Valley. And you're like, I can't look at this. Anyways, I have nothing to say about this
one. Yeah, I don't know why you put it on.
Because I wanted to really. His whole discography. I wanted to really include it. Yeah, whatever. The World's End. So this is the third part of the Cornetto trilogy. I didn't know it came out like after all of these other things.
I definitely thought it came out before. In a row, Scott yeah. Pilgrim.
It came out in 2013, and it's the third part of the trilogy. Again, directed by Edgar Wright, written by Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg, and starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Martin Freeman. Do you like this movie?
I feel okay about it.
Yeah, same. I like the concept though.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like maybe, you know, this is the, like, end did it better if they're like barely related, but
it's like, it's a similar feeling.
It's like a comedy apocalypse movie.
Fuck, what was I gonna say? My hormones, I don't know what's going on with me right now. I feel like I have pregnancy brain and I'm not even pregnant. Lord have mercy. Anyways, oh, you know how, like, when you're, like, in the peak of an obsession with something, and, like, literally, like, you take everything intensely seriously, and, like, even though, like, you know in your deep down, like, you didn't really, like, you just feel okay about it, you didn't, like, love it, but you, like, for some reason, this is a whole personality trait, so everything is, like, top tier level. That's how I was at the point about Edgar Wright and also Brockhampton. So, like, literally everything, I was like, everything he does is just, like, top tier cinema, you know. And when I watched it, I was like trying so hard to really like it, you know.
Yeah,
you know that feeling, and it sucks when it doesn't live up to that. And so to
it
the people it. That still do that, because I know there's a lot of people that still do that, it's okay to not love something that someone you love put out.
Yeah,
it's okay if it's just mid.
You can still be a stan.
Not everything is gonna be a hit.
Yeah,
and it would honestly be a little suspicious if it was.
Yeah, because then it'd be like, okay, so you're just being loyal for no reason.
I remember when I was in London, there was a bar called The World's End, and I was like, immediately stopped my friend that I was with, and I was like, you have to go in there and get a drink. I don't think it had any correlation to the movie.
Period.
Maybe it was named because of the movie. I'm thinking that's maybe what it was.
Yeah, I'm sure. Was it shot in London?
Yeah.
Oh, then maybe.
Yeah, I think it was named after the movie. Like, somebody really loved that movie. And, like, I don't know when it existed, like, when it was established. I have no idea. But I just saw The World's End, and I was like, I think I need to go there.
Oh, wait, the bars in the movie are fake. Just kidding.
Yeah, the bars in the movie are fake. Like, it's like a bunch of it's like a bar crawl. Okay. Have you ever watched it?
Yeah, the one where they're trying to, like, the world is ending and they're going to a bunch of different ones and they're like drunk the whole time. Yeah,
you know how, like, the trope, which, like, after we did that, I was like, there's so many tropes we didn't cover.
Yeah, there was no way we could do an episode per genre, but it's just not that interesting, honestly. Yeah.
But you know the trope where it's like there's the one friend that's like has an ulterior motive to, like, get all his friends together, and then all the friends are just doing it because they love their friend, and then, like, it just goes off the wall, you know.
That's like a trope. That's like a comedy, like, trope.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this movie is. So yeah,
good for them.
It's okay. Yeah. I feel like if I was, like, a British man that enjoyed drinking, I would love this movie, but I'm not.
And I'm sure a lot of his audience is that.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Maybe not anymore.
Yeah.
But
he's diversified a little bit. Yeah. But when he was first coming out, absolutely. I really need to look into that bar situation.
Yeah, because I googled it right now, but I couldn't go into it. But Ant-Man, almost. Okay.
I've never watched any of the Ant-Man movies, but I do enjoy Pym's Kitchen in Disneyland.
God, it's so good.
It is so good. That made me so hungry. Guys,
yeah.
The chicken sandwich and the honey buzz are, like, my recommendations.
Wow. What? Okay, anyways. Okay, there's a lot going on. Okay, so Kim, please.
For those who don't
lead
know.
Lead the way, yeah.
Ant-Man, the movie, the Marvel Cinematic Universe movie
starring Paul Rudd.
Starring Paul Rudd, which we love. We love Paul Rudd. And fun fact, Edgar Wright, we'll get there. Hold on.
Okay.
So Edgar Wright was supposed to direct this movie, and he's like, it's like a passion project of his. Like, even before like all of the movies,
he started
on
this list.
2003.
Sorry, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. 2003 was when he started like putting together the pieces to write the screenplay. And sorry, I'm just like really distressed about this. but basically, like, it just didn't happen, obviously. So there's like a bunch of things that happened. So there was somebody else besides like Marvel and Disney that owned the rights, and they made, what is the movie that they made? I think it was The Punisher.
Was it
John Travolta?
No, it's I know what you're talking about. The original Punisher movie. I watched it on the bus.
Anyways, the original Punisher movie, that was not great.
Oh, what is John Travolta?
Yeah, it's John Travolta.
Ew. Wait, right, that's not the one I was thinking of. Oh, but he's not. Okay, he's in the movie, but it's Thomas Jane. I don't know who that
is. But didn't they use John Travolta on the poster?
Yeah, he's on the poster.
I have a vivid memory of John Travolta being on the poster. Okay, yeah, that's what I remember. I don't remember that other man. I just remember John Travolta. I've never watched the movie. Crazy to me that it came on 2004. That's when they were like flopping on like the Green Lantern.
Superhero movies were in their flop era in that part.
Yeah, but all phoenixes must rise from the ashes, as they say. Anyways, so Edgar Wright had like, this was his passion project, and they were going to make it, but then the company that had the rights were like, we want to do like more like a family friendly. Oh my god, you know the movie Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage? I don't know. I've never watched it since I saw it on HBO Max. I need to rewatch it again because I remember watching it in theaters and being obsessed with it for some reason.
Oh.
I know. I don't know why I just thought of that. I think I was just in the headspace of like terrible movies before the MCU. Okay. And so they made The Punisher.
Right.
After they were like, I don't like your script. And so then I kind of just was like in the air, whatever. Like, it just seemed like it wasn't going to get made. But I guess Edgar Wright ran into Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
And they got along at first. And so they were like, they were like talking about like how they were going to make Iron Man and stuff. And like how Marvel was like starting to be like be a thing. And whatever they were talking about that time, I don't know. And so basically, Edgar Wright told him that he wanted to make Ant-Man movie. And then basically Kevin Feige, I'm assuming, was like, yeah, for sure, you can make it, because they didn't know.
They didn't know what was going on.
They had no fucking clue.
Yeah.
Honey, you got a big storm coming.
Yeah, no, literally.
Literally. And then to the point where when one of the first Comic-Cons where they introduced Marvel to like movies to the people, they like brought out Edgar Wright and told them, and he told them that he was going to make an Ant-Man movie, and everyone was like really excited about it. But then they made Iron Man with Jon Favreau, which I also love him. And Iron Man was like a huge success, whatever. Again, like Marvel like kind of focused on other things. And then it finally got to the time where they were ready to make Ant-Man a thing. And then Edgar Wright like had some, like he got to like test run it. Well, okay, I don't know the timeline. This is where the timeline gets like blurry a little bit. But basically him and Kevin Feige started like having like little tiffs, I guess. To be a fly on those like the walls, or like
an ant on the wall,
like, oh my god. And they like had a lot of disagreements, one being casting, which Marvel wanted, you know who Marvel wanted?
I don't.
Marvel wanted Joseph Gordon-Levitt to be Ant-Man.
Oh, okay.
But Edgar Wright wanted Paul Rudd, and so that was like the first fight.
Why did they want Joseph Gordon? Like,
he was bigger then, I feel like, around that time.
I see it, but I like Paul Rudd more.
Yeah,
I think Paul Rudd is Ant-Man.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense to me, honestly.
Yeah.
And
he looks a little more rugged, and Ant-Man is like a criminal. So
imagine Joseph Gordon, because in my head, I don't have any clue how tall Joseph Gordon-Levitt is, but he's tiny to me.
Yeah, and I don't want to know how tall he is.
It needs to be a man. Yeah, I'm not gonna think about it too hard. But me, he's a small guy. Sure. Watch him be like 5'11".
I don't think he's menacing. Is what it is.
Yeah,
I think I don't know.
I don't know, Because wasn't he Robin in a version of Batman?
He was supposed to be. Like, they were leading up to it, but then it never happened.
Oh, yeah.
But he's, like, in the one Heath, like, I think. I don't want the Batman fans to attack me because I don't remember if it's that one.
Yeah, I think so. You're right. Christian Bale, Anne Hathaway. That one?
Maybe.
I think it was that one.
There's so many Batman movies.
Because I have a memory of Anne Hathaway and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Together. Yeah, they have a scene together.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad I knew that reason. So that was like the first fight. And then the second fight was about the script. And I think that must have been really hard for Edgar Wright to walk away from.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that walked away. And you know when he walked away?
What?
He walked away like a month before they were starting to start. Oh, wait, hold on. There's another story.
Oh.
Before you go. Okay. But they had another Comic-Con, right? And Edgar Wright was able to do some like test footage.
Yeah, I found it online right now.
Yeah, he brought it to Comic-Con and fans loved it.
The suit?
They were eating that shit up.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the suit. This doesn't look like the suit they use in the movie. I really like this one. I don't think it's the one they use now, but it looks a lot more like the comic one with the little head. Like,
it looks like an ant.
Yeah.
Which, fitting.
This, I think this is the one. I don't know. I really like that
but
suit.
But the fact that it got to the point where like he was even like able to, that would never happen now.
Maybe it was like a threat. He was like, I'm going to leave if you don't let me do what I want. And I'm like, okay. And he was like, oh, okay, I'm leaving then. I feel like that's, maybe it was like to be like, let me do what I want.
I don't know if it was like that. I just feel like there was too many arguments. And he's like, he just realized it was never going to go his way. Like the quote, he has a thing. I'm not going to read it directly. But after people obviously asked about it, because like, why would you walk away from a Marvel movie? Yeah. This was like kind of peak Marvel times, you know?
Yeah.
Like when people started realizing like, oh, this is like going to be a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Phase
what, and too? I don't know.
He was basically saying like, I don't think Marvel realized, like, I was okay making a Marvel movie, but I don't think Marvel was okay making an Edgar Wright movie. And I was
hope the script leaks. I would love to see what the original script was.
Yeah. Especially because from what I gather, I've never watched an Ant-Man movie. The only Ant-Man interactions I get is when he's in the Avenger movies. I'm getting over it.
They're good, yeah.
I just feel like it's so far in the past. Like, why am I going to watch it now?
Well, you still should. They're good. Especially the second one. Michelle Pfeiffer's in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that would
incite something. I like Michelle Pfeiffer, but not enough to go back and watch it. Like, because from what I gather, like, everybody I talk to, they're like, it's okay, you can skip those ones.
Really? I love the Ant-Man movies.
No, but like in aspects of like it interacting with the rest of the
cinematic
universe, it gave you, the only reason they're relevant really is because of the technology it brings.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it's relevant.
But also Lily, the girl, Evangeline Lilly, she's the Wasp. Love her. Mm-hmm. Watch it for that. Maybe just watch the second one then, I guess.
Mm. Okay. I don't think I will, to be honest. It depends on how long they are. If they're an hour 40, I'll consider.
They're definitely not that long because like, they're like, or it's like Marvel has, it, is this is a new thing. Oh my God, what did I Google? Okay, let's see. It is
an hour 40. Isn't that at the top? Oh no. I can't see, guys.
It's like nowhere.
Look up Ant-Man runtime.
Oh yeah.
Why did you just type in Ant-Man?
I don't know. I just assumed it would be there.
No.
That's long. Wow.
It's 2 hours long. I'm like,
why are they that long?
Yeah. Sorry.
That's why I tried rewatching the Marvel movies and I was like, no. I already know what happens. I don't care.
That watch them in timeline order. I'm like, what?
Gracie and I were trying to do it and we couldn't. We stopped at like.
That's a lot of hours invested.
Yeah, it's not like Harry Potter where you could get it done in like a weekend.
Oh yeah,
it's like invest a week, maybe a month, because you has lives to live.
Yeah, maybe 3 months, honestly.
Yeah. Oh God.
Anyways,
rip.
So I just feel really bad for him. I mean, the thing is, like, he's never gonna like talk super bad about it because he doesn't. That's a terrible bridge to burn.
Yeah, I feel like we will get an Edgar Wright Marvel movie at some point because they're bridging off into
many. Maybe when Kevin Feige leaves, because I think Kevin Feige seems like a type of person. With peace and love, Kevin Feige, I love you. I don't know why I'm like doing a heart I'm giving you a heart, Kevin Feige. Please, I love you.
He's smart.
You're good. No, he's super smart.
He knows
smart.
What he's doing.
And like to his advantage, I get it because Marvel would not be what it is without him. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like that comes with an ego. To some degree, and that's not a bad thing at all. Yeah. Like to know what you are looking for, and when you're in charge of like this whole massive ship, like totally get that. But I think you know how like now with Chloe Zhao and Eternals, yeah. like I think it was just like right person, wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, because I really do think Edgar Wright's like director take on things would have fit very well with the character of Ant-Man. Like from what I gather what Ant-Man is. Like he seemed very comedic, but also smart.
Oh, why did I think he was directing the new one? It's not. It's Peyton Reed. I don't even know who that. Sorry. But I thought he was directing the third one. Mm-mm. I was like, wait, I did see that. But then no, because it would have shown up in his upcoming projects. Yeah. Rip.
So I just think it was just like Edgar Wright realized like Marvel does not want to make an Edgar Wright movie.
Yeah.
And I think it probably took like a lot of like will.
10 years.
He put in so much time on this. And like it sucks because I feel like everybody should, especially when you have like all this like good stuff behind you and also ahead of you. But also it is a good thing that it didn't happen because we wouldn't have gotten Baby Driver, which is my favorite Edgar Wright movie, okay. despite the cast.
Great transition. So Baby Driver was released in 2017, directed and written by Edgar Wright. This is his first solo director and writer. All the other ones have like collaborations. This is Edgar Wright.
His baby.
Starring Ansel Elgort, John Hamm, John Bernthal, Lily James. Anyways, Isaac so
Gonzalez.
Yeah, a whole lot of people.
Jamie Foxx. That's it. You're missing two people.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey.
Oh,
no.
He's doesn't exist.
You're right. Who's I don't that? Know who that is. After being coerced into working for a crime boss, a young getaway driver finds himself taking part in a heist doomed to fail. He calls it like a musical, like a heist musical. I agree with that.
So fucking much.
Oh my God, I just remember something. So one time I was at Amoeba, it's like a record store in LA, and they had a copy of the Baby Driver soundtrack and it was signed by Edgar Wright. And it was like up on the wall, so it was like expensive. And I was like, oh, I want that, but I'll get it another day. And then like I went back one day to like specifically get that. Not there.
No.
And I will think about it every day for the rest of my life. So sad. And it was about, it was like 80, like it wasn't like an insane price.
That is not bad.
I was so poor.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like now I would have done it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Back then I was like, it would have been like, you're not eating this week.
I'd have been like, hey mom, can I show you these bar 40 bucks? I was yelling at my mom, can we go have just
no, yeah, I didn't even have a record player yet.
Oh.
It was like when one of the times we went and like, I was just like, well.
It is what it is. I was with you?
I don't know, because you would have bought it, no? So no.
No, I probably wouldn't have bought it. Oh, I don't really care about signed things, to be honest.
It was just like a fun little thing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's probably worth a lot of money now.
Yeah.
Anyways, I love this movie because it was like one of the movies that I watched where I was watching it and it inspired me to be a filmmaker.
This again. Is like on your letterbox, no? On your four films or no? Mm-mm. Oh, just kidding. I thought it was.
Never mind. It only isn't because of the cast.
Oh, T. Okay, that's fair. I have some fun trivia about it, but talk about your personal experience with it first, and then I'll do the trivia.
You know how, like, I don't know. I feel like now there's not a lot of movies that, like, motivate me, you know? Like, oh. It, like, re-energize me.
Yeah.
To, like, I don't know what it is with my brain, what is going on.
No, yeah.
But there's not a lot of movies that do that for me anymore, and this was one of those movies where I was like, oh, fuck, I am inspired. Let me get my screenplay. Like, I felt so good, and I was really productive for, like, a month after watching this movie.
That is, like, a perfect way to put it, because, like,
maybe
sometimes
I should watch it again.
There's some movies where, like, when you watch them, you, like, remember why you want to do this, and then you just, like, it, like, starts a creative role, and I don't know, recently, because I saw The French Dispatch and Last Night in Soho, like, within days of each other, and I, like, started writing. Right, I don't even.
Yeah.
But it's just, like.
It's a good life hack, baby, to be honest.
It's a good life hack. Especially, like, rewatching it does still ignite it. Maybe not as much as the first time, but it still works.
I think I'm really good at, like, telling my brain that these are just characters and not people. Like,
playing
roles. So I think that's why I'm able to, like, enjoy stuff, but I know some people can't do that, and I'm so sorry.
I can't do it with music, but I can do it with movies.
Me too.
I think it's because with music, they're not playing a character, it's them. You know it's that person. It's, you know, their words. Yeah.
Quote unquote. Even if they're ghostwriters, like, they're still, like, performing it. Like,
but also, like, Baby Driver, okay, I have the DVD. Watching the DVD is not going to give them any money.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, I feel fine about it.
That's why I like DVDs, because
I love DVDs.
That's how I think about it too. I thought nobody, I was like, am I crazy for thinking?
I don't know if that's like it is, whatever. But it's like a weird, it's like a loop in my head. It's like a loophole. Yeah. Like, they're not gonna get a single syndication cent.
This movie is just so impressive, and it just like it was like Edgar Wright's first like big movie. I feel like in a real length that was like pushed at least. So
yeah.
I think this movie really solidified him to like a lot of people. Yeah. That he is like an actually good director.
Yeah.
Even though like I've been new.
I remember like after you got me to watch it, I was like, everyone please go watch. I had my family because my family.
I know you like. I know it's a good. I always feel really good when like I like maybe recommend you something and then you post it on your story because I'm like that's how I know it's really good.
Like, yeah. I told my family to watch it. I was like, you need. I was like, I don't know. I was like,
maybe
you need
not so much as more. But when you were in college, you were really on your Instagram story like promoting things. If you really.
Oh, I was.
It. Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
I literally forgot about that era. I really wanted to prove I was a film student.
We all did. Oh, everyone's God. Been
I was
there.
So, whatever. I'm still annoying. Anyways, I told my mom, I was like, you need to get the whole family down and like watch this. I had it on like Movies Anywhere or whatever. And they watched it. None of them wanted to watch it. And they all loved it. I was like, it's such a good movie.
It's so good. It's easy to follow. Yeah. You understand what's going on all the time. It's like visually appealing, sonically appealing. It's just like a good time. All fucking around.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. And I don't like, I think this is really impressive from like a directorial standpoint because like it kind of like made me realize and kind of put introspective because you know how like you watch directors talk about how they make movies and you're like waiting for somebody to like kind of like ping your ear and be like, oh no, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And Edgar Wright's one of those people for me because okay. I'm an extremely visual person and also like soundtracks are like, if a movie has a good soundtrack, like, it's like one of the first things I remember. That's why Waves is one of my favorite movies because that has a great soundtrack. And it's not like soundtrack as in like score, like soundtrack as in like songs they like pay people to like have in their movie.
Oh, okay.
You know, like I appreciate a score, but I feel like soundtracks do it more for me personally.
Okay.
So that's another reason I really like this movie. And I really appreciate he like storyboarded every single moment of this. And also because a lot of the scenes are mimicked to the songs.
Yeah.
There is, it just is so satisfying.
They're written into the script.
Oh, yes.
The songs. And I remember because like
reading that script was like it's game changer.
Screenwriters, go read that script because there's some times where I'm like, I need this specific song to be in this. So I know they tell you not to. In like school, but I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it. So I will write it into the script, but I didn't know how to do it. So I looked at Baby Driver because I was like, I know he's gonna have an example of how to write it, and that's what I go off of.
Same.
So fun.
But yeah, it's just like such a visually appealing movie, and like having like the noise from the song go with a folly from like him like shifting a gear or something. It's just like scratches a part of my brain that I don't think has ever been scratched before, and it. I just love this movie so much.
Yeah. So like, good.
Like, I don't think Baby him, like, it is interesting, like, the hearing thing and also, like, the, like, him living with,
The guy. Yeah.
You know, I think that's really interesting. Yeah. And, like, I, especially the sound mixing and everything because of that is, like, so interesting. Maybe the character, him, the main character himself isn't necessarily interesting, but, I mean, he's kind of like an everyman and also, like, I think just though it's happening around him is like the most interesting part.
Yeah. I think he's just supposed to be like charming.
Yeah.
And like, he's Baby. He's literally Baby. Like, I think that's what it is. Yeah. And it's like, it's whatever. I have some little trivia that I found and I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. So the Mike Myers mask, actually was supposed to be the mask of Michael Myers from the Halloween series, but the producers were unable to obtain legal permission. So then Edgar Wright reached out to the comedian Mike Myers about using masks of his likeness instead. And then it became like a joke. And it's like one of my favorite parts in the movie.
It's such a good movie. Yeah. You know, I didn't understand this because I remember this when it first came out.
Oh, the joke? The scene?
But like, because Halloween movies were coming back, so that's probably why they didn't let him do that.
Oh, yeah, probably. But so, it works so much better. Oh, it's hilarious.
So much more funny. Like, happy accidents like that just make...
Also, in the original Halloween movie, they weren't allowed to be using that mask. So they deformed it to the mask that it ended up being, and that became an iconic mask. It was like a William Shatner like Star Trek mask.
Oh yeah.
And they had to deform it so that they couldn't even recognize what it was. And then another one I saw that I was like, oh, it was so director Edgar Wright once parked his car in a parking garage, only to realize that by complete coincidence, the car next to him had a stylized Baby on Board sign with Baby's face on it. Taken from the movie poster, and Wright left a note on the car's windshield that read, "From the director of Baby Driver, I approve." And
you have no idea how hard I searched on Etsy for one of those.
Really?
You have no idea.
I wonder where they got it. Did you find it?
I think they probably made it themselves.
Oh, probably.
I think there was one on Etsy. I think. I don't know.
That does sound like a thing your car would have, like in that era.
Yeah, now I can't.
No.
But.
Yeah, no, the joke wouldn't really.
No.
It's okay. All right. So that was Baby Driver. So the next one we have, it's like a documentary. I don't have that much to say about it, but I just want to cover it because it's like one of his recent things. It's called The Sparks Brothers. It was released this year, but it premiered earlier this year on South by Southwest, and directed by Edgar Wright, starring the Sparks Brothers. And basically, it's a musical odyssey through five weird and wonderful decades with Ron and Russell Mayall. I don't know how you say that. Celebrating the inspiring legacy of Sparks. There was like South by Southwest was like online last year. Or this year, I guess, earlier this year. And so, like, this was one of the movies that everyone was like, this is the one you have to watch. If you don't watch it, because you have to, like, sign up for screenings. So I, like, signed up for this one because I was like, it's Edgar Wright. Like, I want to see what it's like. It doesn't, whatever. And I started watching it and I was like, I see the Edgar Wrightness popping off, but I just don't really care about the subject matter.
Okay.
I'm sure, like, music majors are like, this is, like, for them. Mm-hmm. And this definitely feels like,
it's incredibly on brand for him.
Yeah, it's like a passion project. So you can clearly tell that it's like he wanted to do this and they let him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because even in the trailer, it was like at the end, they were like, I know it was a joke, but he was like, oh, why haven't you let anybody make a documentary about you before? And they're like, oh, we just didn't want to make it dry and that they literally threw water on them. And that's a little bit cute.
It's like fun. It's like stylized as it would be. So it's like a really fun way of, it's a new style of documentary that I hadn't seen before. Where it was very original. It was not like, I don't know. You know how all the Netflix true crime ones are? It's like a shot of a street from a drone.
Yeah, it's like they're all basically
the same thing. And violence.
It's just really sad because it's about real things that happen.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
A formula for that. Isn't that kind of fucked up?
Oh, 100%. Anyways. I don't have much really to say about it. Like if it sounds interesting to you, check it out. You'll enjoy it. If it doesn't, don't. That's it.
They had Jack Antonoff in it. They had Patton Oswalt in it,
too. Yeah, all the, like, big music producers are, like... Yeah, why was he in that?
Patton Oswalt?
Yeah.
No idea.
He's in everything.
Yeah, he's literally in Eternals as well.
Last Night in Soho. This was released in 2021, directed by Edgar Wright, story by Edgar Wright, but the screenplay was by Christy Wilson-Cairns. And I think you can tell that it was written by a woman.
I think it should have been written by a woman.
Yeah, it's so clear.
Yeah.
Because I was honestly kind of shook. I was like, Edgar Wright wrote this? With peace and love to Edgar Wright, I love you, but like your past characters, like with your track record, I was like, he wrote a Girl Boss movie? And then I looked it up.
This is not a Girl Boss movie.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
if
not.
If there's
this
anything
is a
that's
Gaslight been, movie.
Girl Boss, Gatekeep, Gaslight. It's literally all three.
Yeah.
This is a definition. Whoa. Well, like Girl Boss in the ironic sense, you know, like in the way that people use Girl Boss.
Yeah, but. It really is all three of those.
Yeah. Starring Thomas and Mackenzie and
Anya
Taylor-Joy.
Changing my Letterboxd review right now.
Yeah. Anyway, the plot is an aspiring fashion designer is mysteriously able to enter the 1960s where she encounters a dazzling wannabe singer. But the glamour is not all it appears to be and the dreams of the past start to crack and splinter into something darker. This is my favorite Edgar Wright movie.
I knew it would be.
Yeah. Wow.
It's incredibly up your alley.
I just saw this recently. I loved it. My mom didn't want to see it, but I was like, I'm pretty sure you're gonna like it. Like, it's the guy who made Baby Driver. Yeah, she loved it.
Oh, cool.
And so I don't know that first of all, this is the first Edgar Wright film to have a female protagonist, T. And I just think this is such I know it's like a genre film.
A lot of people did not like this movie.
Why? It's not really. It doesn't feel like an Edgar Wright movie.
It feels misogyny based.
Oh,
why people don't like it?
I see that.
I was like reading Letterboxd reviews about it, and like I get what people are saying, but didn't make me not like it.
Wait, what? Can you give an example of like what someone's saying?
No.
Period. That's all, guys. Thanks for watching. I don't know. I really enjoyed it, and like I do think. Okay, here's what I will say. Halfway through the movie, I was like, oh my god, this is about sexual trauma. And like how like that's the thing I was getting. And I do think the ending, the twist, takes that away.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I was upset about. But the way the twist is done is so good that I just didn't care.
The first one I clicked on was, what if nostalgia drove you insane and tried to kill you? But that's a 4-star review, so that's a good one.
Oh.
Two stars. Worst case scenario, Coraline.
Okay, fair.
Three stars. Men are bad, isn't it?
Okay, no, it was giving the... What movie, Birds of Prey, where, like, every male character was bad, and then, like, in this one, they were, like, but the one male character was, like...
Oh, it, sorry.
Go ahead.
It made me think of Promising Young Woman.
Oh, there we go. That's the one. I don't know why I said Birds of Prey. Same thing. Not at all. But, like, how there's, like, one male character. I don't think
it's for men. This movie is not for men.
I loved it, though. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, the message.
Wait, I'm glad you...
And, like, because I think for me, why it resonated with me is just, like... Besides, like, the horror aspects and stuff, if you take all that away, like, having a girl, like, be nostalgic for some time period that she has no idea anything about, yeah, and, like, romanticizing it, and the horror of that is, like, I mean, there's bad things happen in every decade, but, like, yeah, having a horror, making that a horror aspect instead of, like, a societal aspect, you know, like, racism and, you know, things, yeah, like that, like, I... thought that was really relatable in a way, because, like, I feel like a lot of people our age are super nostalgic for, like, the 70s and the, yeah, 60s, when, like, bad, it's not like bad shit didn't happen then, it just happened in, like, honestly scarier ways,
the way, okay, when she literally,
it happened, like, yeah, what Anya Taylor-Joy's character did, it happens a lot even now, it just happens in, like, a different forms of, like, an aspiring, like, actress or singer, and, mm-hmm, they basically get pimped out. That's what it ends up being.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, like, an interesting, like, tale to tell. And I'm very glad that a woman wrote it, because I don't think it would have hit the same if a guy wrote it. Because, no, I don't think they would have understood that nuance.
No, definitely not. Well, the way that I saw it was, like, Shaun of the Dead is for the straight people. Scott Pilgrim and Baby Driver. Well, that's just Scott Pilgrim is for the bi people. And then... Last Night in Soho is for the girls and the gays.
What are you trying to say to me?
No, I that's how I saw it. Like, I'm, you know, he's going through all the spectrum. He's going through the whole spectrum.
Yeah. Well, I commend him for that one.
Yeah, good.
He's inclusive. He's giving us diversity in a way, yeah, that is, like, above our pay grade.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. So when I was
such a joke, please don't take that seriously, people. Don't cancel me.
When I was looking up about the movie, I found that the actress, Diana Rigg, she actually passed away.
I didn't know that.
And so that's why at the beginning it says for Diana. Didn't know what that was about until now. And I think it actually adds so much to the movie, especially the last scene. Mm-hmm. I won't spoil it, like, for anyone. Definitely go watch it and keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Because I wish I had known that. But I'll rewatch it knowing that. I don't know. Just iconic. Okay, so there's a lot of moments where Anya Taylor-Joy's character and Thomasin McKenzie's character will, like, switch.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, yeah, apparently all of them were practical except the dance sequence, which makes sense. Like, you, they would, yeah, like, it was like you had to use CGI for that.
Yeah.
But all the other ones were just practical. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Because I was like, did they? I was like watching. Like, I was like, was that a cut?
The one where they're coming down, like, the stairs.
Yeah.
It was so cool. That's crazy that it's all practical. But I remember seeing a headline that was like the one scene that made Edgar Wright go literally crazy, and it's definitely one of the mirror scenes. I didn't read the article, but I saw the headline and I was like, yeah, because I couldn't imagine, especially knowing now that they're practical. I was like, oh, that's definitely what he's talking about, because, yeah, mirrors are so fucking tricky.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like, to, and it, for that to be practical.
So was it like, I don't get it.
I don't either. I will buy the DVD so I can watch the behind the
commentary.
Scenes. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this movie. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil it. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, very fresh. Yeah. But definitely go watch it in theaters.
Because everyone's always like, this is another one. I feel like a lot of times his movies, people like to shit on as soon as they come out for some reason.
Yeah.
But then in, like, a like 2 to 3, 2 to 5 years after they come out, people are, like, rejoicing it. And I wonder how that feels for him.
I
feel like in Britain, he's, because it's like, it's a very British movie. Like, majority, yeah, of, yeah, these movies, besides, like, the documentary and Scott Pilgrim, they're British movies.
Yeah.
They're British comedies. So,
obviously, well, Baby Driver, British, right?
Is that not what I said?
No, you said Scott Pilgrim and, oof, the documentary.
Oh, yeah. I meant to say Baby Driver. Anyways, like, he said, what movie? There's a... this is what it was. He want, because they might make a Baby Driver 2, and they might, I don't know.
Good luck, Charlie.
Well, I looked it up, and he said, I looked up the interview date, and it was like December 2020, and he said something about that, and he, Ansel Elgort got quote-unquote canceled in like June of 2020, so shrug. Anyways, I feel like with West Side Story,
I was about to say that.
I think Hollywood's going to forgive him a little bit. But like,
I just don't think we need a Baby Driver 2. Edgar, I know you want to make more things.
I think other people are like, there needs to be Baby Driver 2.
Oh.
And honestly, like, I am not opposed to it. Okay. Am I like fiending for it? No. But if it happens,
I'll watch it.
Mad about it. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh. He was like, if there I were to make a Baby Driver 2, I wanted to make like another British genre movie.
Oh, like okay.
Before that, and that's why he did Last Night in Soho, because it's like a British movie. I think it's like interesting and like admirable in a way. Like I couldn't imagine feeling this way about America. I do know like a weird like kind of like half empty, half full type of way of like. Making movies for where you grew up, you know, and like for those people, like the reason why I was like kind of like iffy about it was like The Farewell. I feel like is a good way to make an American movie, but still it's kind of bittersweet because I think that is an American tale everything being super bittersweet and you know, but I guess it just depends on how you look at it. But yeah. I thought that was really cool. Like he must really love the UK.
Yeah, good for him. Can't relate. Anyway, so yeah, that was like what he's worked on so far. Obviously, he's going to have so many more great works. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not even close to them. So we have some of the ones that like upcoming projects that we saw.
He's going to be like a horror guy, I think.
Yeah. So he's adapting Stephen King's The Running Man. Very excited about that. Because I think they mentioned that, like, I saw an interview with him. I don't know if it was him or Stephen King. But they're like kind of spicing it up. They're not doing an exact adaptation. They're like switching it up for modern audiences.
Oh, good for Stephen King. So I'm like, that's character progression for him.
Stephen King loves just like letting people do whatever they want to his movies, except The Shining. He was like, not this one, and they did it anyway. But I feel like he's like really like flexible with like if someone goes to him, they're like, I want to do this with you. He's like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, he tweets about it. He's like, I loved it. He's on Twitter all the time. He loves
How
Twitter.
How old is he?
I don't know. 76. Wait, if that's right, I'm going to be really scared. Steven.
Anyways, so possibly Baby Driver 2.
74. I was so close.
And then he has, I don't know much about this, but I read like an animated movie called Shadows.
Yeah.
A lot of adaptations. So Simon Stevenson Set My Heart to 5, Adrian McKinty's horror novel The Chain, Stephen King's Running Man. And like there's more. And there's like another one that I think he's going to write. A TV series about not the Night Stalker Richard Ramirez.
But oh yeah, I saw that.
There was like it's like a 70s show.
Yeah, I was like he's making a movie about the Night Stalker, and then I clicked on it and I was like, oh, okay, thank God.
Not Richard Ramirez. Yeah. This is before Richard Ramirez. And then I thought this would be good for the series to end
to
on
wrap
like
it up,
advice for filmmakers, and I think I'm just gonna. This is like the test episode, so we're just gonna do one.
Okay.
And his advice for filmmakers is like. It doesn't matter if you like have a budget or something. If you want to get good at film, the reason why people always ask him for advice, he's like, just get a camera, like in any form you can, and just make something with your friends. And he's like, it doesn't matter if it's shitty. Like I watch my old stuff, and I'm like, I'm not necessarily proud of it, but it helped me understand what I wanted to do today.
Yeah,
and I was like,
oh, I love that.
That is the best advice, honestly. So that was a really good way to end that, I think.
Yeah,
and I feel good about it.
Me too.
This episode?
That was fun.
I do love Edgar Wright, so
yeah,
no one can take that away from me.
no one can.
And that was season 5.
We're yeah. Five. No, that was season 3.
Sorry, I don't know why.
Thank you guys for listening to this whole season. Mm-hmm. It was like really sporadic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we delivered some good content, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. Next season, we're spicing things up a little bit.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys like what we do.
It doesn't matter if you do or not.
We're doing it. Yeah.
But we love you.
Like hopefully you like it. But like we just have to do this for our mental health and sanity. And just in terms of like.
It just make everybody's lives a lot easier.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see you in December.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye guys. Happy November. I was going to say happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, wait. Well, happy Thanksgiving and appreciating your
in a modern way.
Yeah, in a modern way. With the modern twist.
Oh my God. Bye.